Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. I am profoundly grateful to be with you on this beautiful 25th day of March 2018. Goes quickly, does it not? It just picks up speed. Every day we live such busy and, lives that are very, very demanding. And so sometimes we can even forget that we live today. I've had students come to me and say, it went so fast today, I hardly remember any of it. I understand that completely. Anyway, I want to welcome you to the program. What I will be talking about today is kind of this thing called love, as we have some, interesting questions on it. Love is the whole purpose of living. But what kind of love, what love are we talking about? That kind of thing. This is a very important thing for us to understand. So we're going to be looking at that today. And I want to remind you about love. Your support is the only thing, your loving support is the only thing that makes this radio program possible. Without your kindness, your love, support, we would not be able to continue Aspire, would not be able to offer you this program. And I hope that you will consider becoming a sponsor and helping us out a little bit here with either a monthly or a quarterly donation if you like. The quarterly donations, the one that's least expensive is four times a year, quarterly, $50 a quarter. And your donations go to support Aspire 100%. And I would deeply appreciate it. It kind of takes the pressure off of me. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see support. And if you click on that, a drop-down menu will come. You know the routine, and it will tell you all about why support Aspire, where your donations go, the whole kit and caboodle. So become a sponsor. Help us. Love. It is a difficult subject for people to comprehend because the problem with love is everybody thinks they know what love is. That's the problem with love. And because everybody knows so much about it and thinks that they have some kind of mastery over it or that it's some kind of right to have or it's involuntary to have, people think, well, you know, I know what love is. I don't need to be told, but I'm not here to tell you what love is. I'm here to offer you possibly another slant on love. Okay. So I have three questions I've pulled out of the barrel here that were sent to me in the last month or so. And I thought they'd be interesting for you to maybe consider for yourself. The first one comes from Kirk. And he lives in Long Island, New York. He said, you sound like a hippie with your love crap. Love is not possible in this world. Don't you know that, Kirk? I have so many thoughts going on. Forgive me, Kirk. That you're right about the impossibility of authentic love. I mean, it's very, very difficult. I don't know if I'd call it impossibility, but it's a very difficult thing. Human beings, Kirk, they like love in the form of affection, of emotional attachment, emotional gratification. And typically to get all of this kind of stuff in a person's life, you have to touch their body a lot and you have to touch their emotionality, their sentimentality, all of that. And it is, it gets a little hectic. It does. It really does. Now, if we're talking about authentic love, it is a very, very, very rare commodity on this planet. And love, authentic love, has nothing to do with being unconditional. There's no such thing as unconditional love. This is absolute horse manure. So love has a lot of conditions to it. you have to recognize it beyond your emotions. A person has to go beyond gratification. There has to be a sense of inwardness, moving towards the inward part of ourselves, not the outer part, not living from the urges, the impulses of the human body, the genetics, the DNA. There's a lot of conditions to love. So it is never unconditional like people would like you to believe. It is impossible. Okay, so let's start with the first part. I sound like a hippie with my love crap. There are worse things in the world than to be a hippie. Now, I don't know how you define hippie. I really don't. In my mind, when I was there, and I don't know how old you are, Kurt, maybe you're my age, ancient, but the idea of hippie was to be counterculture. So I don't know what you call hippie. If it's smoking dope and doing drugs and having sex everywhere with everyone, well, that wouldn't define my premise on love or my teachings on it at all. So I don't know. To me, a hippie was someone who went counterculture, who was looking for an alternative to the conventionalism of the society, who went beyond the ideas and the ideals of politics, religion, and philosophy. So I don't know. When I was in India, we all looked like a bunch of hippies, you know, and it was wonderful. There was no dope or anything like that, or marijuana or drugs of any kind. There was no alcohol. So we were there for a purpose. We were there to work on ourselves. And some people were there to escape. And they did try to escape, and that's all they did is try to escape, and the rest of it is history. They didn't do very well, nor did they do well with themselves. They did probably well in the world, but not within their heart. So, I don't know. If I sound like a hippie to you, then I sound like a hippie to you. But I never was, by the way. I wish I had been, but I wasn't. I wish I'd been able to be that loose inside and everything. I had to go to India to be that loose, and I had a spiritual practice that was presented to me that had a lot of conditions to it, things you had to do and practice, and by golly, they manifested and they flourished and they were beautiful. But how we looked in the outside was not what we were doing on the inside. So there's that, okay? The love is not crap. Now, human love is crap. I'm going to just be blunt with you, and just since you were with me, I'm going to be with you. Human love is crap. I will grant you that. Human love is about urges. It's about misunderstandings. It's about selfishness. It's about pride. It's about vanity. It's about all the things that make up, a human being. And the best they can do. There's jealousy. There is hate in it. There is so many things. I used to perform these weddings, Kirk, and I would watch people make vows, you know, to each other of love, but they never kept them. Most of the people, statistically speaking, that I married are now divorced, and that was years ago, and most of them are not married anymore. Marriage has become, in my opinion, a joke. It really has been from the beginning, but I don't really understand why we do this. I did it. I did it twice, three times. And it's an impossible situation to do. People change rapidly, and you're like, well, that's not what we agreed, or that's not, you know, the person you, well, this is how I am now, that kind of thing. And you get all that. So there, you're right. Love is a lot of crap, as you put it. And I understand what you're saying. When you say love is not possible in this world, if you're talking about human love, you'd be very right. Human love is why we are where we are, because I love this, you are an enemy, I don't love that, I become your enemy. It just gets so convoluted and silly and ridiculous, petty and childish, not even childish, worse than that, that it's just not worth doing. It's just not worth it. But a person has to come to a place inside themselves where they realize what you have realized, Kirk, the futility of human love. I'm assuming that that's what you mean by love. And then you have a choice. You either stay in that mishigosh of craziness, of pain, of sorrow, or you transcend it. And for some people, it's about staying in it because they haven't got the guts or the balls to let it go. Let human love go. Let human emotion go. Let human traditions of tribal ceremonies like getting married. You have to let it go. That doesn't mean you're against it. It doesn't mean you're for it. It just means you realize it's a barrier not to bridge to your loving heart. And once you've made the loving heart the way of your life, the meaning of your life, that is when you have done something extremely powerful. That's when you've done something important, meaningful, and powerful. And the way of the heart is about an inwardness. It is about a vibration. It is about a rhythm. It just grows in you and grows in you. And pretty soon you don't need one person to come over and validate you, tell you you're loved, want you to be loved, or want to be loved. You just don't need any of that. And that's where the horse manure, the crap as you put it, leaves your life. So, Kirk, I don't know what to say to you. I kind of agree with you about, in fact, I definitely agree with you about the love thing, that it's not possible in this world via this world. Love, human love, doesn't cut it. As far as the hippie thing and sounding like a hippie with my love crap, I don't know. I think that's speculation and perspective issues, so... You see it as you see it. You call them as you see them. That's fine with me. But you're listening, and there must be something to it if you're listening. There must be some place inside you that says, go, 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 go towards love. Kirk, I really appreciate your candidness. I really do, and thank you very much. Please forgive me, hey? Namaste. Next one comes from Cindy. She does not tell me where she lives. What are the elements of love as you teach them? I have just begun listening to you, and I'm a little intrigued about how you talk about love. Well, be intrigued, Cindy. I'm glad you are, and I'm glad you're listening. What are the elements of love? You know, it's not something, love is not something that you can imitate. It's not something you can pretend to be. You have to provoke love inside you. If you provoke it, then something of the other shore starts to reach you. How do you provoke love? That is the key. It is not done through DNA and genetic urges. It's not done through any of those things. It is realized. It is like the fish in the sea that thinks it needs to find water in order to survive. You already have it. Now what you need to do is awaken to it, realize it. But here's the key. Cindy, the human mind cannot recognize love ever. The human mind cannot understand love, not ever. My teachings on love are everything that I've ever done. If you watch Aspire on the website, you will see I'm giving you lessons, first of all, in the futility of human psychology. It is futile. Nobody likes you anyway. You have to understand that. you should watch the series Passing Through the Fires. Then the whole idea, Know Not What We Do. That's another great series. You start watching these things, you start realizing what I'm showing you is futility. I'm not criticizing you. I am focusing on our futility. Look, there's this and this and this and this that we think, say, and do in order to have a better life. We're always trying to have a better life. We're always trying to fix our life. We're always trying to make it something that we believe it should be, but is not. And it can only be what it is for us because of the way we perceive love. You provoke love through meditation. You provoke love through kindness. If you're kind and compassionate, you'll be able to meditate. People say to me, oh, I can't meditate. But they can. The reason they can't is because they are not willing to be kind or compassionate, which includes being patient. It includes being loving. You have to provoke love within you through silence. If you can be silent and be in solitude and live a simple life, you have come to the three points that I teach the most. Love is derived out of those three elements: simplicity, solitude, and silence. Those are my teachings. And unless you provoke love in that way, you will be only subject to human love, which is emotionality. And you will start to live your life according to emotion rather than the feeling of compassion. You will live out of sentimentality. And the mind is always looking for something to reassure the emotions that they're going to be content, or they're going to have what they want, or they're going to live a happy life. They're always doing that, Cindy. It just is the way it is, how we're built. We have to transcend that. And to transcend that means that you have to understand the way of the heart. Now, to understand the way of the heart is to awaken to the authentic you. We have a body that defines us. We have a psychology that defines us. Our psychology is based around the body of our emotionality. Our emotionality is based on the idea of DNA and genetics, which is telling us how to survive. So the only thing we really have going for us in our futility is how to survive through the body. And that's as far as it goes. We don't take it any deeper. And because we don't take it any deeper, we think that is me. I am my body. I am my emotional body. I am my psychology. I am those things. Those aren't yours. Those were forced upon you to live here on this earth. We all have it. Jesus had it. Buddha had it. Lhasa had it. Everybody has it. How we live in that body, either succumbing to it over and over and over again through emotionality, or how we transcend it, is the key. Are you going to transcend, or are you merely going to go around and around and around in your human body, making that the love of your life, and then trying to get other people to love it so you will, quote unquote, feel love? This you is not really you, but it is what you think is you, and that makes it ugly, ugly, ugly. So when you start on a journey of a real authentic inner path where inner awakening becomes very important to you, you will start to find that the simpler you get, the less you are attracted to complexities of other people and situations, and you will see clearly, clairvoyantly through what is going on in these situations to what really is the source of them. That's the key. Then when you live quietly and simply, you can live in the solitude of your heart. The heart is the only solitude there is, the only true meaning of life. In solitude, you recognize your beingness. And you have to be in solitude, alone, to do that. You can't do that constantly being pampered or trying to be pampered or living in the gross mentality of wanting emotionality to come in and feed your intellect or feed your discontent or your feelings of inferiority. It won't work. And then, of course, silence. No matter where you go, you can live in the silence. You don't have to allow the noise and the hecticness of the world to capture you, to take you away from the meaning and the significance of what it is to love. So if you can live in those three elements, then you're home free, dear. And you will find your life very interesting. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. And the last question from John. He does not tell me where he lives. Do you believe in love or do you believe in love? John, I understand what he means. He's saying, do I believe in that human love or do I believe in the other love? Because of the way he capitalized it. John, the human being can only love the way the human being can. The love of a human being weakens a person. It really weakens us. It does not strengthen it. It makes the whole idea of sympathy and being loyal to the tribe, the herd, being more important. There's all these emotional things that it needs in order to sustain itself. That kind of love is just human love, and it's the best the human can do. And you have to have compassion on that. You can't look at it and say, what a terrible thing this and what a terrible thing that, because human love is human love. But the love that I am talking about here that I feel is really important is the love that goes beyond the idea of my human body, my human impulse, my human urges. So what you were talking about in your email is romantic love bad. Well, I don't do bad or good anymore. I really don't. I don't see the value of it. It's necessary for the human being, but it has to mature and grow. It has to go beyond sentimentality, has to go beyond the idea of desire, want, and pride. If it doesn't go beyond those things, if it only keeps you in those things, possession, you know, being possessive and being jealous and being prideful and all that other stuff, then you won't have the method to go any further than the human love. And that would be tragic. That would just be ultimately tragic. But that's what people do. That's what they think. That's how they live. You can't talk people out of being romantic. You can't do it because it appeases the ego and the pride to such a degree that it makes what we call love some kind of emotional fairy tale that comes out of the blue and tells us how great we are. And we aren't that great. No one is. I'm not. No one is. The object of the effort of a spiritual practice is to find the authentic love and find it as the state of our being, not the condition of our body, the condition of our emotions, to go beyond it. Emotionality only destroys the meaning of a person's life. And it seems that most of us really don't care if that meaning has been lost due to the search for emotional love and human love. Everybody tries to glorify human love. It really can't be done. It shouldn't be done. And it confuses the issue and makes things what they're not. And I can't stop that. That's a tsunami in people. And when you hit that button, you've lost them. So you just basically can't do it. Thank you, John, for your beautiful question. To answer it, I tolerate little love, but live in big love. And that's really what it's all about. I'm out of here. Woo! Boy, that went quick. Have a beautiful weekend. I'll be back on the air next week. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.